A very welcome back to Lifeline on this Women's International Day. And now I should be joined on the line by Laura Harman. Good morning to Laura.
Good morning.
And you're very welcome to Lifeline, Laura. You're speaking to us there from the National Women's Council of Ireland. Could you tell us a little bit about the organisation and the work you do?
Yeah, so absolutely. So the National Women's Council of Ireland is a membership organisation, and our main goal is to campaign for equality between women and men in Ireland. And we were founded in 1973. So we campaign on women's equality issues, and that can range from health, reproductive health, to women in politics and improving women's representation in the media, in business. We also run an annual conference for young women called FemFest, which is all about empowering them and training them up to be the leaders of the future. And we had Taoiseach Leo Varadkar opening our FemFest conference last December, for example. Mm. So we work across a whole spectrum of women's issues, and all of our policies are decided by our members. So we have about 180 member groups all across the country, and individual members as well. And they dictate, you know, what our policies are through our AGM and through the motions that they bring. So they tell us what the issues are that they want, that they want us to campaign on.
Great. And what is your vision for a future in Irish society?
Well, our vision for the future would be, you know, a world where there's equality between women and men. And we, I mean, we've seen so many changes, I suppose. And here, you know, on International Women's Day, it's a really, I think it's a really good time to reflect on, I suppose, the achievements that we have had even over the last 40 years. I mean, I think a lot of young women today would be very surprised, you know, oftentimes to hear, oh, you know, 40 years ago, you know, women had to, you know, give up their job when they got married in the public service because of the marriage bar. You know, for a long time in Ireland, women weren't allowed to sit on juries. And, you know, there was a lot more kind of inequality in our society. Contraception wasn't legal 40 years ago. I mean, divorce was illegal. You know, there were so many different milestones, I think, that we have achieved over the last 40 years. I mean, if you look back to the early 1970s, we had a gender pay gap in Ireland of about 57% between men and women. But we still have a lot of inequalities today that we need to tackle and that are being tackled. And I mean, we've seen a huge resurgence in kind of feminism and people identifying as feminists and wanting to work on the issue of, you know, gender equality and women's equality in recent years, particularly, I think, with young women and young men as well, you know, supporting the cause and wanting to get involved. And I suppose some of the main challenges at the moment and the main issues that we're very conscious of and that we work on continuously in the Women's Council would be things like the gender pay gap, which stands at 13.9% at the moment, and also the pension gap, which is something I think that maybe doesn't get spoken about enough. And we have a lot of women consistently asking us about this, and women who reach pension age who realise that they're not going to be getting the pension that they thought they were going to be getting, and that there is, I suppose, a pension gap of 37% there between men and women. And that's largely as a result of, I suppose, women tend to take on the majority of the caring responsibilities in the home. And that's not necessarily to say that, you know, women are the only people that do that. Of course, men do it as well. But women tend to be predominantly the people who do take on the care work in the home, which means that when they have children, they often drop out of the workforce for a period of time, which means they will lose out on their pension contributions later in life. And then also, women tend to be more so in part-time work or lower-paid work than their male counterparts. So that affects them, you know, at pension age as well. So it's not just, I suppose, a gender pay gap when you're talking about women who are working, but it can also affect them in older years. And that's something we're very conscious of, I suppose, and that we work on a lot from an economic point of view. Yeah. But then, I mean, another huge issue, and I suppose it's an area that I would work on myself, is the leadership piece. And I suppose it really pervades all aspects of society. We see an underrepresentation of women at all levels. For example, in the media, just one quarter of voices on our airwaves or on television are women. And that gets even lower when we look at issues like the economy, when we look at issues like sport. So women are less represented when they're talking about those issues. In politics, 22% of our TDs are women. So just over a fifth of our TDs. And that has improved since the last general election. It was 15% in 2011. It went up to 22% in 2016. And that was largely due to the gender quota that was introduced, whereby political parties have to run one-third women candidates. Otherwise, they face, you know, financial penalties. And that really increased really increased the number of women TDs that were running, and it did show as well that when women run, you know, people do vote for them as well. So there is no voter bias when it comes to gender. So a lot of those women that did run in 2016, they did get elected. And then if we look at local level, I mean, at council level, just 21% of our local councillors are women. So it's the same at local level. And then also if we look at business, you know, business women are very underrepresented at the higher echelons of business, particularly when it comes to corporate boards. So just 16% of members of corporate boards in Ireland are women, so less than one-fifth. And that's very below the EU average, which is 23%. So that's an area that the Women's Council has really been working on in recent times, and we are advocating for a quota to be introduced at board level as well, because we can see that it does work in politics, and we think that it's something that, you know, could be looked at for the corporate sector too. So it really is, I suppose, we do see women underrepresented. But then having said that, I mean, we've made great strides, as I said, you know, in the last 40 years. I mean, 40 years ago, if you asked anybody on the street, would we ever have a woman president of Ireland, they, you know, it would have been seen as almost laughable at the time. Yeah. And we know we've overturned all of that. We've since had two, you know, women presidents of the country. And, you know, we've really made strides. You know, we've had women tarnished us since then. So, you know, we've really seen things starting to improve, and I think that, you know, if we continue as we are, you know, we are going to see a lot of more improvements in the future, but there are certain areas that do need to be tackled. I'd say the gender pay gap is one which was really highlighted, I think, over the course of the last year, and also looking at how we can improve women in decision-making spaces like politics and like business as well.
Great. And Laurie, you recently launched an Every Woman Healthcare model to promote affordable healthcare options. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, so our Every Woman model, which is our reproductive healthcare model for women in Ireland, is a comprehensive policy document which outlines our position in relation to women's reproductive healthcare. And it includes everything from, you know, contraception through, you know, support, you know, when women are going through menopause, for example, all throughout the reproductive cycle, and including supports during pregnancy. And of course, that also includes the issue of the Eighth Amendment, and we're in favour of the removal of the Eighth Amendment, and we'll be campaigning on that issue now over the coming months, and we're expected to see a referendum in May. The 25th of May is the date that's been touted for this referendum. So we are going to be working on that campaign as well, as part of our policy and a part of our campaign on women's reproductive health. And we feel that the Eighth Amendment is a barrier to providing, you know, full reproductive health services for women in Ireland. And we know that up to 12 women per day travel to the UK for terminations, and those are just the women that give Irish addresses. So we know that, you know, this is something that is happening already. There's a huge veil of secrecy around it, a huge stigma around it, and we believe that women, you know, that they should be cared for at home in Ireland, and that we should have those services available to them in this jurisdiction. So we're looking forward to campaigning on that referendum and having a very respectful debate on that issue. And I think it's, you know, it's something that the whole of our society will be engaging on now in the coming weeks and months, as we debate this issue, and as we have that referendum on that topic. And of course, it's very interesting as well that the government have planned a second referendum in the latter part of 2018 on the Women in the Home clause, Article 41 of our constitution. So the original constitution in 1937 stated, you know, that a woman, that there's a great value placed on the work that a woman does within the home, and that has kind of, you know, that's a really, I suppose, a kind of a negative and outdated statement to have in our constitution, confining, I suppose, women to the home. So the National Women's Council would be advocating for a gender neutral clause within the constitution which values the care work that people do in our society, regardless of their gender. And that's something that, you know, we'll be looking forward to in the latter part of the year. Hopefully the government will stick to that commitment to have that referendum as well. So it's going to be a very big year, I think, for women's rights in Ireland, and certainly, you know, we're very busy, very looking forward to it. And I mean, it's really great, I suppose, on International Women's Day in particular, to reflect on the achievements that we have made and to really look forward to the future and see those challenges that do lie ahead as well.
Exactly. I'm just going to go to one thing that was on your website about the Magdalen Laundry, and I know the we used Mark today, I think it was last week, about the ladies who were, it was also known as asylums or institutions. Tell us a little bit about this.
I suppose just in relation to the Magdalen Laundries itself, is it? Or I mean, they.
Yeah, and about, I know you marked a day, I think last week, with laying flowers on their graves.
Yes, and there was, that was scheduled for last Sunday, but in Glasnevin, I believe, but it unfortunately was cancelled due to the weather, like a number of events. So I'll have to check back, actually. I think if you look at our website, nwci.ie, we'll make sure to put it up, because I know that date has been moved now, I believe. It might be on this weekend, but we can double check that. And that's to mark and to I suppose, you know, value those women who were, you know, incarcerated in those laundries and who were, I suppose, mistreated, you know, by our state. And it's to recognise those women and to value them. And I think that's a very important event. So do check out our website, I think, for any relevant events that are happening. And we do have an event section, so it's nwci.ie.
Hard to believe when you think of, like, those over 30,000 women were confined to these institutions, and the way you know, they were treated. It's very sad to think, like, some women are still, actually I think there's still a few women still in some of these institutions. I mean, they're well in probably their 70s now, but they were confined to these places, and that's all they knew for years and years. And it's hard to believe. Like, I think there's a mass grave as well containing a lot of the bodies of these women, and it was uncovered in the grounds of one of the laundries. I'm not too sure about that, and you probably don't know much about that either, Laura, but it's something
that
we should.
I mean, we saw what happened, you know, with Tuam, and, you know, the discovery of that, you know, mass grave. And, you know, we've seen Bessborough revelations there recently of unmarked graves being found as well, you know, of babies that were buried there. And, you know, it is a real, I think, mark of shame on our history in Ireland, you know, the fact that we do have this dark past. And it's something that, you know, really, it just goes to show, I suppose, how we have treated women in Ireland, and how we also have treated the issue of, you know, sex and pregnancy, and how we deal with that as a country. And I think that's something that we really need to kind of face up to. And I think, you know, things like, you know, the upcoming referendum that we're having will give us an opportunity, you know, to really improve the lives of women in this country. And I think, you know, it's good that a lot of these issues are being brought to light, and that we are coming to terms, I suppose, with that past that we do have, and that shameful history that this state has in how we have dealt with women and the issue of pregnancy in particular.
Exactly. Well, listen, Laura, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, and thanks a million for taking time out, because I know today you're probably really, really busy with the day that's in it. But thanks for taking the time out to talk to us today.
Thanks very much.
On Near FM and Lifeline. And have a good day. And thanks a million.
Thank you. You
okay,
too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.